Welcome to the Next Gen Podcast. Stepping up to the microphone are your hosts, Bryson Wright and Alex Winton. They got next, so let's get to the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into this week's episode of the Next Gen Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Bryson Wright, and I'm joined by my co-host, Alex Winton. And it was a really big week in Grizzlies news this last week. And we got to start with the biggest one, which is Marcus Smart will be joining the Memphis Grizzlies for this next season. The Grizzlies had to give up two first-round picks, and they had to lose Tyus Jones to bring in Marcus Smart. But I do think it's a solid deal for them. I think it does address a lot of their needs, especially at the beginning of the season, not having Ja Morant playing point guard. He's somebody that can come in and play point guard. He's done it before on a team that made the Eastern Conference Finals. So this is not something that's going to be new for him. He's played point guard before. And then he also has played a lot of shooting guard. So whenever Ja does come back, I think there's a possibility that he can just slide over as well, and he can play really well in that kind of role. So I think they did something good with this deal is they went and got somebody that can play defense and can kind of make up a little bit for the perimeter defense that Dylan Brooks brought to the team. And, you know, that's not going to be there next year. So on the one hand, they brought in somebody that can guard a lot of perimeter guys. And then on the other hand, they also brought in somebody that can play point guard, like I said, while Ja is out. And because of like his unique skill set, he's one of the few people that I think they could have brought in that could do both of those. So I think that's one reason why I do really like the move. But yeah, all in all, like I think it's a really solid deal for the Grizzlies.
Yeah. I'm a fan of Marcus. Well, I'll say I've been a fan of Marcus Smart for a while. In terms of like he's always usually been a winning player. If I'm not mistaken, I don't think he's missed the playoffs his whole career, which is kind of a crazy stat. But yeah, once with Smart and his skill set, it fills a couple needs. In my personal opinion, I think it fills that combo guard spot because, like you said, he can play the point, but also can play the two. And again, I think for that, in terms of comparing him to Tyus, the thing that I always say that is kind of hard with Tyus is that he's usually good when Ja's out, but usually when he's with Ja, not to say he's not good, but it's very hit or miss because he can't really play with Ja. And for me now, when you get players on this team, whether that's through trade or free agency, you need to get players that fit around the core regardless, like whether they're on the core or off. And so for me, I think that's the biggest thing in this is that Smart can play with Ja when that when he does get back, because he'll be able to guard at least. And he'll be able to actually knock down shots. Because even though Smart is a average spotty shooter, at least in the playoffs, he's been a really good performer. And that's really what matters. I mean, that's what Kleiman even said. Like, you want somebody that's been a vet that, you know, that can play and basically, you know, can improve us playing in the playoffs. Like, so he makes a lot of sense for this team. Just even from on off the court, like being a vet, being a locker room guy, because I think here he'll be able to have a voice like he did in Boston, but not be too much of a voice because he's not one of, I mean, he'll be one of the better players on our team. But in Boston, he's there so long. It's kind of like how Dylan Brooks was here so long. The ideal players they were going to be were not going to be in their original spots. So I feel like with Marcus Smart, I feel like he'll fit in right, like easy. Because, and also I think for him, there's a few other things too that, like, you know, where he's playing with another defense player of the year, that's going to help him not have to have worry too much about being the main defensive guy or being the main playmaker when Ja gets back. So I think that him having a not lower usage, but more less on his shoulders will raise certain other stuff in his game. I think the Smart acquisition is really good. And I really think Memphis is going to love him. And I think he's going to love Memphis once he gets here. I know he was kind of distraught about not being a Boston a little bit no more, but I think once he, you know, he settled down and once he actually touches down in Memphis and sees the fans and all that, like plays, yeah, he's going to love it here. So,
I think, you know, he's going to love Memphis, and I think Memphis is going to love him. I mean, this is the city that embraced Tony Allen, embraced the whole kind of grit and grind culture when the core four was here. And I think that when you look at the way Marcus Smart plays, he's really like, honestly, like he does remind you a lot of Tony Allen. You know, you could make an argument for, you know, he has a lot more on the offensive end than Tony had, but, you know, he's probably not quite the on-ball defender Tony Allen was. But, you know, this is a guy that's really, really good on defense, and he can do a little bit more on offense than Tony ever did. So I think that's something that's going to help. And I think the big thing about Marcus Smart is not that he's like a knockdown shooter. Like you said, he's not really a knockdown shooter, but he's an average shooter. He's good enough to where when you get into these playoff series, there might be teams that would say, hey, we'd rather Marcus Smart take this shot than Desmond Bain and play the percentages. But it's not going to be to the point to where they just don't close out on him. You know what I mean? Like, you have to respect his shot. And I think that's going to be a really big thing when you get to the postseason. Just having another guy out there who is even an average three-point shooter when it comes to percentages, and just not having, you know, the whole situations where teams will just leave you wide open and all of a sudden you can't make any shots, kind of like we saw in the playoffs this year with Dylan. So I think that's something that's going to be that will help them on terms of the offensive side. And then, yeah, like I said, on defense, they had to bring in a lot to kind of make up what Dylan did bring. And I think he does help, not really as much like as a wing defender. You know, he's a little bit undersized for that, but he can guard wings if he has to, because that's how talented he is as a defender. So I'd be fine with him guarding some wings and stuff like that. And against certain teams, there's going to be the possibility, especially when Ja comes back, for like the Ja, Bane, and Marcus Smart lineups. And I think that's going to be really good and all that. So I think it's something like we're saying, it makes a lot of sense. And then in terms of what you get like off the court, this is a guy that's a great leader. And you look at like from the Celtics fans and seeing him leave, he's also a fan favorite. You know, all of these Celtics fans loved what he brought to the team these last few years. Obviously, there's a couple in every fan base that don't like whatever player, but the overwhelming majority that I've seen have been talking about how much the Grizzlies are going to love him and how much the fan base is going to love him. So I think it's going to be really fun to see him in Memphis next year. And yeah, I thought it was a solid deal. We can get into a little bit more about what they gave up, because there were some people that were talking about, like, did the Grizzlies give up a little bit too much to bring in Marcus Smart? And I can see why people are a little worried, because they see two first-round picks and you bring in, you know, and Tyus Jones is leaving, and you expect to get maybe a bigger name guy. But when you look at his pedigree, this is a guy that's multiple first-team all-defense, one defensive player of the year. He might not be like the splashy whatever pick that a lot of people were talking about. Like, you know, obviously he's not OG or Mikal Bridges or anything like that. But I think that in the long term, like, there's a chance that he could be maybe not just as good, but like he could help the team grow to be even better than they were if they brought in somebody like that, because of all the stuff he does off the court too. I do think they're still going to have to address the wing position. They're going to have to bring somebody else in. So I'll say the Marcus Smart deal makes a lot of sense. As long as they do bring in another wing, I think they need to bring in somebody else. We'll see what they do with like the MLE and everything like that. But just for what the trade is right now, I'm not worried about the first round picks. I know we talked about it before. At this point, they've got their core guys. And is there anybody that they were going to get at 25 this year, or with another late first round pick from the Warriors next year, assuming it's going to be late, barring any injuries or something like that, that you would get next year? I don't know if you get a guy that impacts winning as much as Marcus Smart does, even if you use both of those picks. So that's why I'm not necessarily worried about the picks. I get why people are worried about losing Tyus, just because of how good he was when Ja was out. But like you said, they got to get somebody that can play with Ja instead of only, you know, not to say he only played well when Ja was out, but that's when you really get to see him like shine. And it was really difficult for him, I think, especially after starting for that long stretch at the end of the season, to go back to the bench. And I think it's going to be good for Tyus too, even though the Wizards are probably going to be pretty bad. Like, they're going to be a pretty bad team next year, most likely. You never know. They might mess around and do one of those things where the Jazz ended up being way better than people thought this year. But I don't really see it, honestly. Like, it seems like they're going to be pretty bad based on all the stuff that's going on. But it's an opportunity for him to go somewhere and be a starting point guard on a one-year deal, and then he's going to go back into free agency again, and he'll probably have a ton of opportunities after that if he plays well. So I think it was something that could be seen as a win for, like, both sides. And I think when Tyus signed that two-year deal, it was kind of maybe not known officially. Like, if they had gone out and won the championship or something this year, maybe he would have come back. But I think when he signed that deal, it was basically known by both him and the front office that he probably wasn't going to be playing that second year.
Yeah. The thing is, it's funny that you mentioned about did they give up too much, because my mindset after what I heard Kleiman was talking about in the season interviews, I was like, he's talking about being aggressive. Should we have tripled down on youth? So my mindset, I'm like, oh, he probably trading these picks. And it's funny enough, it went from, I thought they were trading the picks to, I think they're at least going to draft one guy. And, at least like roster guy, we'll get into what they did. But like, I thought they weren't going to trade the picks. So once, I think my initial reaction, the first 25th pick didn't really bother me. I think it was that Warriors pick that bothered me initially that night. Because if y'all follow me on Twitter, I was like, I didn't like it at first. Only because the Warriors pick is top four protected next year. Then I think top one protected year after, and then unprotected year, thinking like 2026. So it's protected, but again, not saying the Warriors would be that bad, but there's always a chance. So I think that's also what went through my head. And also, we gave up two picks for a point, combo guard versus a wing, which I felt like was more of a bigger need than the combo spot. But once I slept on it and thought about it, I don't know if anybody follows me on Twitter, posted this meme, can't really say it, but let's just say I said forget them picks, and I was okay with it. I was good with it. And I really don't think they gave up too much, because the 25th player in the draft this year, I mean, there's only one person I really want out of that. Like, there was a few people I wanted, like Leonard Miller, Max Lewis, Chris Murray. Like, there's a few people that I felt could have helped. But then again, that's just me thinking they can help. It's not – I don't have a real big, like, actual, evidence that they're going to be good NBA players, because we could say everybody's going to be good, but they got to really translate. We've seen Marcus Smart be a good NBA player. So they trusted somebody that's going to actually produce, and not only produce in the regular season, but in the postseason. So I'm not really worried about the picks that they gave up, especially when Boston ended up flipping those picks for like second rounders anyway. So, or at least our first round pick this year. So, and the thing is, the Grizzlies didn't give up any future first round picks. So they still have all their picks going into the next 4 or 5 years, however many years. So I don't really think they gave up too much, especially for a guy like I was talking about that can play with Ja. And the thing is, like you were talking about with the three guard lineup, Jenkins loves guard lineups. Like, he always loved to go to that Ja Tyus lineup, even though numbers and just eye test said that didn't work. I mean, it worked in spurts, but it didn't work too much because of, like we talked about with Tyus, maybe inconsistent with the shot. And then on top of that, he's not giving you much defensively because he's smaller. So it's just harder. You're putting that backcourt in a harder spot with Smart and Ja, and then even Bane maybe at the wing. They can play a small ball lineup, especially if they got Jaren out there. So they got a lot of lineup versatility with that. So I don't really think they gave up too much. Especially like you said with Tyus, I thought he's going to leave anyway. Like, even if he stayed the year, he's probably going to be gone because, he's probably going to want a different opportunity, because I understand his frustration if he had some with being a guy that, started on and off. And you know what I mean? Like, it's just a hard situation, especially when you don't want to always be a backup in your prime years. So I think that's another thing that probably, I think they kind of knew that's why they gave him a 2-year deal instead of like a 4-year deal, because they knew, hey, either we're going to trade you or we're going to find a different replacement by then via draft. So, I'm not really mad about what they gave up, honestly. Like you said, I still think they need a wing, which we'll get into. But, yeah, outside of that, I'm not really – like, this trade is good. It's going to be good, because I don't think people understand how good Smart's going to be being less dependent on. Because we already got our best three players. Smart was one of their best three players. I think it's different when you're the fourth or fifth best player versus when you're a top three guy. So I think for him – less is going to be more. So I really feel like he's going to be really good here as long as he's healthy. Obviously, we hope everybody's healthy. He did have some injuries last year that's the reason why he didn't really make, I think, for a defensive team, in my opinion, probably because of the injuries, and wasn't the same defender, also because they had a different coach. But I think being in a different system, being playing with another defensive player of the year and a team that has a good defensive team, structure already, I think he'll be good, especially offensively too, you know, as being able to make plays and stuff like that. So I don't think they gave up too much, to be honest. I slept on it and I was good. So, yeah.
Yeah, for me, it was honestly like instantly when I saw it, even though it was two first round picks, like, I guess I just have like a different mindset than some people when it comes to these picks now. Like you said, I'm not worried about these picks at all, man. Like, okay, two first round picks, whatever. Like, let's keep it pushing. To me, I felt like if you can get a guy who's a veteran and has been there before and been there, done that, I've been to the Eastern Conference Finals, NBA Finals, all of that. And just having a guy that can be like in those situations and be like, hey man, we're okay. Like, I've been in games where I've been down 25 in the playoffs, where I've been up 25 in the playoffs, won, lost, all kinds of stuff. So just having that experience, I think, is going to be really good for them. And I think it's worth two first round picks. And like you said, it would be different if the Grizzlies were trading these picks and they didn't have a first round pick in 2024 or 25 or 26. They still have all of those picks. Like, they still have plenty of first round picks down the line that they can use in trades if they would really need to. And they're not going to be worried about the stipend rule or anything like that, because they technically traded that pick after they draft. They technically drafted Marcus Sasser and then traded him, even though the trade came out before the draft. So if you don't know, you're not allowed to trade two first round picks back to back, basically. But because of the way they did that, they're now able to trade if they want to trade 24, 26, 28 and do it like that. And they want to go and get somebody and use three of those picks, they can do it. So I think that they still have a lot of flexibility, and they also still have a lot of young players that they could use if they needed to, you know, make a deal. I think the main issue with them trying to make a trade is that a lot of their players aren't making enough money to make the money match. And I think that's one reason why, like, Tyus had to be that he's one of the only guys that really could get moved, because he was making like 15 mil. Like, he's one of the only people that was actually making enough money to where if you put him in the trade, you get enough back to make all the like luxury tax and all that stuff work. So I think that that is going to be something that's going to be interesting to see how they navigate that going forward. But for the here and now, I'm not worried about the first round pick they gave up this year. They still ended up getting Gigi Jackson, who a lot of people were saying they should have taken at 25 anyway, and they got him at 45. So they didn't have to trade up at all, and they still ended up with a guy that has a lot of upside. So I'm not really worried about that draft pick. And then that Warriors pick, you know, there's some protections on it. Maybe, you know, if something happens, you know, if there's injuries or, you know, people are out for Golden State next year, there would be a chance that they would be a really high pick. But to me, it's like, as long as Steph and Klay and all those guys are healthy, like, that's not going to be like a lottery pick. You're probably looking at that's another, you know, late first round pick. So if you're really thinking about it, is, you know, two late first round picks, you never know what that can be. You know, you might end up with Desmond Bane. And because the Grizzlies have had some success drafting, you might say you want to bet on that. But there's also a chance you don't end up with Desmond Bane. And, you know, there's no telling who you end up with. I mean, we've seen what happened more in the Wallace years with some of the guys that they got. So if you trade both of those picks and it's two Desmond Baines, like, okay, maybe you made a mistake. But if you trade both of those picks and it's two Wade Baldwins, then that's fine. Like, okay, we can deal with that. So that's kind of, I think they're going for what you know versus what could or couldn't be. And I think that's important for where they're at now, is they need to have people they can rely on, people that have been there before, like I said. And I think that's better than whatever rookies they were going to get. At some point, they have to stop developing players. Like, they have to develop the guys they get, trust in those guys. They can't just keep bringing in more people and just continuing to develop more guys. There's only so much playing time that can go around. So when you look at, you know, all these first round picks, maybe bringing in more rookies, you got to keep in mind, you still got Jake LaRavia, who barely played at all last year. Zaire Williams was hurt a lot of the last season, and he's going to play a lot more. Even David Roddy, he kind of came into his own. He wasn't playing as much at times during the season. He's going to play way more this upcoming year. So it's like, you got a lot of these young guys that are probably going to play a lot more, and bringing in, you know, two or three more rookies, it would just get way too crowded. And then you talk about bringing in, you know, two more first round rookies next year. Eventually, you got to start moving on and moving down the line and getting older guys. And I think that's what Kleiman has seen, and that's what the Grizzlies are doing. And that's why I'm not worried about it. That's why I don't think they gave up too much. I think it's all going to be fine.
Yeah. I'm not, like you said, I'm not really worried about the picks. Like, I just think, like, the thing about the development thing that you were talking about, I think you can develop, but you can't develop too many people, which they had too many guys that they drafted. They brought in like four rookies last year. Like, it's cool to bring in one or maybe two and then keep on two like they just did. But like bringing in four or five guys, I think is the problem, especially if you're going to keep these guys. And they seem like they're going to keep these guys. So if that's the case, that it makes sense in my brain that they weren't going to draft. Even if I may disagree in terms of, because I still think these guys will be good players, but I do feel like this class was more people talked about this class, had more hype, more upside. So if they're going to choose a class to do it, I would have preferred they did it this class, but I'm not going to be mad about it because they already got guys who've shown upside to be good players. So I'm not really going to lose sleep over that, especially when these are back-end picks like we talk about. Like, because even if you had to pick or you give up the pick, that person that you give that pick to, like you said, they got to really nail it. Like, they could end up getting a really good player like Jimmy Butler, or you, like you said, they could get a Wade Baldwin. Like, it's all going to be on that front office anyway. And so, you know, for me, I'm just not really going to trip off these picks in development because, again, they need guys to develop, but especially under new CBA, but they need more rotation guys, especially now. Like, you need more rotation guys because we saw, even though they had success this year, they had more success the year prior by having more rotation guys that were NBA players. Even if you didn't consider Kyle and Melt quote-unquote vets, they still were more, you know, rotation-level NBA players. And that's not to say these other guys can't be, but I think you just put yourself in a better situation than you did last year because last year they banked on Zaire to have a big year, and then it didn't. So then you're putting Conchar in a position where he's like a 20-minute guy when in reality he's more of a third-string guy. That's not bad, but you're putting guys out of place and out of roles. And that's why they went in to get the loop move because they realized, hey, we need to get some more guys in here. And that's what they did again with Smart. We need more rotation guys because in the playoffs you're going to need at least, in my personal opinion, you need at least 7 to 8. At least 7 to 8. Maybe 9. But usually 7 to 8 is like a good number of like playoff players that can play in the playoffs and be good. I think Grizzlies healthy right now have probably like 7 if they were fully healthy. They got like 7. So I think their one thing is they need to get another, like one more. But right now I think, you know, that in terms of draft picks, I don't think we'll be coming back and thinking about these draft picks. Because like you said with the Warriors, even if it's like a lottery pick, that lottery pick will be, at least for next year, is in a class that's quote-unquote historically weak by most people. Like most people say next year's class is going to be a weaker class anyway. So even if they did give up a lottery pick in that, okay, like, you know, like it might not be that much good of a player anyway in a class that's weaker, so supposedly. Now, obviously, that could develop or whatever change, but I'm not really going to lose sleep because they would have to be bad. And like you said, if they got Steph, Clay, and Dre, and they're healthy, they're going to be at least in the playing range. So, and I'm not going to lose sleep over a late lottery pick. So, you know, and because that's even then, that's hit or miss anyway. So, you know, you're always going to gamble in this game of, like, the NBA. Like, you're going to make gambles and risk and stuff like that. So it might be a risk, but I doubt that this will come back to bite them.
Yeah, for sure. And then one more thing I wanted to do before we kind of move on to talk about the draft pick they actually did make in GG Jackson is predicting the starting lineups both before Ja comes back and then when Ja does come back from his 25-game suspension with Marcus Smart. Because I think this is probably the biggest question a lot of people have is can Marcus Smart really, like, not to say he's going to be playing the three, but can he defend threes on defense? Because he's going to have to with the way the roster is right now. Because they don't really have a wing guy that is a consistent starter. Really, the only guy they've got on the wing that has started games is Zaire. And, you know, he started his rookie year. And then last year, he was hurt, didn't really show a ton. So I'm not sure if they're – now, maybe I'm wrong, and maybe they'll do what they did with Santi, and they'll come into the season and be like, hey, Zaire's going to start at the three. But just based on based on what I saw last year, I don't think he's necessarily ready for that. Just off of the injuries and stuff like that, I still think he'd be better coming off the bench, right? Not to say he shouldn't play. I think he's going to play, but I still think he'd probably be a little bit better coming off the bench. So I wouldn't be surprised if the opening night starting lineup is Marcus Smart, Desmond Bane, Luke Kennard, Jaren Jackson Jr., Steven Adams. I would not be surprised if that's the starting five, just because, like we said, you know, Jenkins does like to go with these three guard lineups. And even when you have had a guy like Conchar playing the three, you know, it's a smaller guy, even though they might technically be a forward. The same way that Luke Kennard might technically be a forward, he's still more of a guard to me, like when I look at the way he plays. So, but when you have, you know, a three-guard lineup, but one of those guards is Marcus Smart, who is a former Defensive Player of the Year, and then you also have another Defensive Player of the Year on the interior, I think that that can make up for a little bit of the lack of size when it comes to the wing. I still think, like I said, I still think they probably should bring somebody else in, but just for, like, a starting lineup and then probably a closing lineup, having Marcus Smart out there as – he's going to be the best on-ball defender on the team, regardless of who he's guarding most of the time. So I think that you have to have him in the starting lineup for a lot of the year. And even if he's not starting, there might be some times where maybe he comes off the bench, but he's going to be closing. Like, he's going to be closing a lot of lineups, even when Ja comes back. And when Ja comes back, I'm fully down for the Ja, Smart, Bane, Jaren, Adams starting five. Like, I think that could work really well too. And like I said, the only issue with that is, you know, you got Desmond Bane or Marcus Smart playing against somebody who is probably, you know, bigger than them. They might be a little bit overmatched on the defensive end, but I do think it will open up the offense a lot, just having those guys out there. We saw how good the offense was last year with, you know, Bane and Kennard out there spacing the floor last year. So I think that, you know, even if they do go with the small lineup, I think it could work out really well.
In terms of a small lineup, man, I'm indifferent. Only because in terms of small lineups, I don't think it could work, but I'm big on it being in spurts. Because I think there's certain lineups like that can work, but I always think you got to, like, do it in spurts instead of it being the starting lineup. So I think for me, I think they might do it. If they don't make a move, they probably will do it. But I wouldn't be surprised if they do this again and say, we're going to start a rookie, or not a rookie, but one of the young guys start, like Santi, and see what happens. I would not be surprised if that's, like, their last resort option. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they started Jake LaRavia. I know that sounds crazy, but I wouldn't be surprised, especially after Desmond Bane talking about him in the, I think it was on draft night, a little stream that they were having on Grind City Media. I think he was talking about, like, I think they asked him, who do they expect to make a big leap? And I think he said Roddy, but he also said Jake. So, you know, I think I wouldn't be surprised, especially Jake, in my opinion, has the size. He's actually legit 6'7", 6'8", wing. So that's really where I'm at about the wing spot, because I think they might start these guys, but I'm big on you need size at the wing. Even if Smart's a really good defender, I think that's the thing that I think, if, like you said, with the lineups, they might close with it, which I'm not opposed to, depending on how it is. But I want to give ourselves more versatility instead of, because if it doesn't work, then what do you go to? You know what I mean? Like, then you're putting yourself in a position where you're too small in the wing. And we've seen when the Grizzlies have been too small in the wing. When the first year, when they had, I think, who was it? They had Grayson in them. When Grayson was still on the team, I think Bane's rookie year. Like, that Utah team was just shooting over the top of us. And even, I think, the year after, like, you know what I mean? Like, you can be too small in the wing sometimes. But especially that year in particular, they were just, like, it was just, like, we had smaller wings. And I felt like they weren't bad. But, like you said, like, you know, it could work. Like, and especially, like, if you're playing against a small team like a Golden State where they're going to play small ball, like, yeah, I'm here for the three-guard lineups. Like, and I think they'll actually work better than most because of Smart having a longer wingspan, actually, too. Even though he is 6'4", I think he has, like, a 6'8 or 6'9 wingspan. So that does make up for some of the lack of height that he might have. But in terms of the starting lineup before Ja gets back, obviously, you know, Smart's going to start, Bane's going to start, Jaren's going to start, and Adams is going to start, you know, pending health. And then if not, it's probably going to be X. You're probably at the small four going to start maybe a Luke if they don't make a move. And even if they don't make a move, they might start a rookie. Not a rookie, but Jake. I keep saying rookie, Jake or Zaire or Roddy. I really think Jake, because Jake has the size, the actual wing size. And while maybe Zaire could take that spot, like you said, I don't know if they're going to do that again, especially depending on how summer league goes, which I think will be a big thing, and how these guys get their minutes and how they look in terms of, you know, going into training camp. Because if Jake looks like a legit rotation player, I would not be surprised if they say, hey, we're just going to start him if they can't find a wing. And, you know, the wing market is, in terms of free agency, is kind of hit or miss. It's kind of hard to find guys that fit the bill in terms of the size that you need at that spot, but also the shooting, not shot making that you need at that spot too. At least free agency, they might have to make another trade, but I don't know how they make another trade for somebody. Like, there's a lot of different things they could do, but if they run out of those avenues, I think that would probably be the thing. And then after Ja gets back, obviously, I think Smart could start, but I wouldn't be surprised if he came off the bench either. But like you said, he's going to play a lot of minutes regardless. It doesn't matter if he starts or not. Like, he's going to be in some closing lineups anyway. And I like it that way anyway for Smart to not start, because that means we either made a move that allows him to, you know, give us more versatility, because that's the thing. I'm big on versatility and being able to play different ways. If you can play a lot of different ways, you allow yourself to be a good postseason team, because you're going to play against different matchups every time. And so if you can have a wing that's bigger, okay, we could throw a bigger lineup at you. Okay, and then if that doesn't work, okay, we can go to the small ball lineup. Like, they give them more looks and stuff like that. So I don't want them to pigeonhole themselves into that. But if they are, then, hey, that's what it is. But I want them to vet their options out before they say, hey, we're just going to settle with the small guard lineup. Because I think it can work, but it's always better to do it in spurts versus it being a whole thing. So that's just really where I'm at with it. But I wouldn't be opposed to it. Like, I wouldn't be surprised by it at all. But I prefer more of a bigger wing line, or getting an actual small forward in here somehow, some way.
Yeah, and if it's somebody that they bring in, like, even if it's a – I know we talked a little bit about guys like Dorian Finney-Smith and stuff a couple of weeks ago. Even if it's a guy like that that they bring in to be, like, the starting small forward, I think that that would help a lot too. Like, I would not be opposed to that at all. The only thing I'd say about Jake is that the reason why you take Marcus Smart out of that starting lineup to bring in a wing, it would have to be because of defense, and it's like Jake just doesn't have, like, the defensive end. That, like, he has the size, but he doesn't have, like, the defensive ability right now. I mean, maybe he's been in the gym and he's going to be, like, he's going to be way faster when he comes back, but he just doesn't have the foot speed to me to be that defender. And it's like, that's the only reason why I'd say if it's between starting, like, Jake or Zaire and starting Marcus Smart, I'd go Marcus. Now, let's say they make a move and they bring in Norman Powell, then I'll be like, okay, yeah, you can start him if you want to do that. You know, like, there's a lot of different guys out there. There's a little trade rumor I saw earlier about him. That's why I threw his name out there. But if it's somebody like that, then it's a little bit different. But it's just not to say that I don't think Jake LaRavia is ever going to be good. Like, he very well could be in a couple years. I just don't know if, especially because last year he only played, like, what, like, I think 30, 35 games. And in those games, yeah, he played 35 games, and in those games, it's not like he was getting rotational minutes in every one of those games. Like, there was a couple games where he played a lot of minutes, but some of those 35 games were either the Grizzlies are up by 30 or the Grizzlies are down by 30, and we're running you out there to get 4 or 5 minutes. So he hasn't had a ton of meaningful NBA experience, like, in actual games. Now, maybe you say, hey, he's going to get it this year, and that's what they're going to do the whole regular season, and that is a possibility. But for me, I just don't know. If it's between starting Jake LaRavia and starting Marcus Smart, I'd take Marcus Smart. Like, even if it's him having to guard somebody that's bigger than him, just because I've seen him do it before. And that's really what it comes down to for me. I would like to see them have more positional versatility, though. Like, that's why I said I do think they do need to bring in another wing guy. It'll be interesting to see kind of how they navigate that with free agency starting up pretty soon. And there's also one, like, long shot that we could talk about, and it is the guy they just drafted, and that is GG Jackson, who they picked 45th overall. And I'm not expecting him to play this year for the Grizzlies, probably going to play for the Hustle mostly. He's definitely going to play in summer league, and he's probably going to play in every summer league game. I hope he does. And for me, when you look at everything that he – when you look at, like, his pedigree coming out of high school, this is a dude – you talk about next year being a weak draft class. If he hadn't reclassified and he had, you know, gone instead of – not to say that he shouldn't have gone to South Carolina. I know everybody has like their own kind of decisions or whatever, but if you look at it, if he had gone to like North Carolina, like they were talking about, didn't reclassify, and he played there next year and had a solid season, he probably would have been a top 10 pick this year. Like he very well could have been, or not this year, a top 10 pick next year. And the Grizzlies got him at 45. He was the number one ranked player in the class of 2024 at one point before he decided to go to South Carolina. And there are some questions, you know, turnovers, inefficiencies, and stuff like that. But the thing that I keep coming back to is you look at these stats and keep in mind that for half of the season, he was 17 years old. Like, he was supposed to be doing Algebra 2. And he was trying to play SEC basketball, which SEC basketball is not easy. Like, and if there's one thing they do in the SEC, it's play defense. And when you're playing on a team like South Carolina, if you don't know much about college basketball, South Carolina, they had a good run a few years ago, but this year that team was really bad. It was not good. And it wasn't GG Jackson's fault, because a lot of the times they were running, give GG the ball and get out of the way, because that was basically all they could do. And I'm a big fan of taking guys that were like first options, either in college or wherever else they are, and changing their role and seeing them flourish. So I think that if you see him, you know, this is a guy, he was forced to like have the ball in his hands a lot, take a lot of contested mid ranges and stuff like that. And you bring him in and you're going to ask him, hey, we just need you to take open threes when Ja passes you the ball. And if you can cook like every once in a while, that's fine. But if you're scoring 8-9 points a game, like that's all that you're good. And for a guy that has as much talent as he has, I think it would be very easy for me to see him be a bench guy that comes in off the bench, gives you some good run off the bench, and is really just like a score, you know, three level score off the bench. And I think he could very easily do that without having to get, not to say he doesn't have to get better, because he does have to get better, but all the stuff on offense is there. Like, all of the stuff that you need to see from him is there. All you really need is development of what he already has. And I think part of it is going to be a mental standpoint, not to say that he's not a smart player, but it's like, dude, he's 18. You know what I mean? Like, he's just got to, you know, get smarter. Everybody, when you start your career, there's a lot of stuff you got to learn no matter what you go into. And I think he's the kind of guy that he has all the talent to be a really good NBA player. And I think at the 45th pick, you get a guy that probably would have been top 10 next year, was ranked number one in the class coming up. Even though, like you said, it might be a weaker class. This is a dude that was ranked first in that class, though. So if you can get him at 45, and especially you talk about you traded a pick, well, you might have traded a lottery pick next year, but you might have got a lottery pick next year in the second round this year. So it might even out when all things are said and done.
Yeah, GG Jackson is like a low-risk, high-reward type of player, but I'll take it even a step further about what he could be. I think, personally, after looking at him, I mean, I already knew about him, but really looking at his stuff after we drafted him, he probably is the most talented young player upside-wise they got. You count like Zaire, all them young guys that are like only got like 2 or 3 years experience. He's probably the most talented. I mean, we just talked about a guy that could be a lottery pick. So, like, it wouldn't be surprising me if he's more than like a rotation guy. Like, he's 6'9 and has great footwork and shot-making, you know, ability. And he has some decent athleticism. And I think the thing is, people don't realize if you just go by South Carolina film, you think that's what his play style is. When in reality, what you're talking about him doing the other play finishing type of stuff, he did during like his before that year. Like in AAU, he was doing more play finishing stuff. And I think that's really going to be the thing for him, is figuring out what role, what he can do well in the league, which is why I think him being in the Hustle is going to be so good for him, because like you said, he's 18. Like, I think he's like, ain't there this thing? Like, he's like almost or like older than Bronny, like by a few months.
No,
like it's something
crazy. No, he's like 2 months younger. He's younger. 2 months younger than Bronny. Well, because like I said, he's supposed to be in this upcoming class that's coming up right now. So he's younger than a lot of the guys that are going to be drafted as one and dones. He's younger than basically most of the one and dones that we're going to see next season in the draft.
Yeah. 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 So that's the thing. Like, people got to understand, like, some of the stuff that they criticized him for in terms of, like, I know there's something about, like, him being on IG Live, being frustrated about how South Carolina's season's going, maybe him acting out on the sidelines a couple times, but it wasn't nothing crazy where it was disrespectful, but it showed you dude is 18 years old. Like, he a young dude. Like, I'm not trying to excuse it, but I think a lot of that can be cleaned up with better structure. Not to say South Carolina was, like, you know, like, all the way bad, and, you know, he didn't play a part in it. Like, he was inefficient himself. Had, you know, lapses and stuff. But again, that wasn't the best situation for him because he had to be the best guy on a team that wasn't really that great. And you're probably not ready for him to be the best player on that level. But even then, you saw the flashes, like the shot-making flashes, the even some defensive flashes. And again, all this is legit 6'9", him being able to move. Like, I really think he's that talented of a player. Like, I think he's the most talented young player we got. But again, he's going to take some time. Like, he probably will be a guy that, you know, it's going to be on that two-way for the – I think it's like 2 years. He'll be on that, like, for 2 years. But I think that's fine. Like, I think that's okay that he's on that two-way because he needs to develop. Like, when you're only 18 years old like that, like, you need all the reps you can get. So, you know, I think for him, it's really about just getting the reps. And I think about really figuring out what his play style will be because I think, like you said, he could be a rotation guy, but it wouldn't be surprising to me in a couple years we see him as a guy that could start next to Jaren. Like, it wouldn't surprise me that much at all. Like, at all. Like, because he's that talented of a player. If he figures out what his game is in the NBA level, I don't think that we'll have a concern about G.G. Jackson. But, again, it's going to take time. Like, he could not work out. That's also a real possibility. It could just be a miss. But the fact that you got it at 45 is not going to hurt you. It can only help you. So, it's a low risk, high reward. I'm very interested to see how G.G. Jackson plays in terms of the summer league. You know, because he's going to play a lot of games and really be able to have a lot of reps, especially, I think, because I think Jake's playing, right? If I'm not mistaken, Jake and all them are playing.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of young guys are playing. They didn't say Zaire was playing, which that is something that we could talk about maybe for, you know, next week when we get more into, like, summer league preview and stuff like that, when they actually put out the actual roster. I think Zaire should be playing, but it looks like he's not going to. So maybe he's hurt, whatever it is. But if Zaire doesn't play, there's a good chance that, you know, they start both G.G. Jackson and Jake LaRavia, you know, in that lineup in the summer league and just go with it. Like, I wouldn't be surprised to see them start at 3 and 4.
Yeah, and that's what I'd be here for, because I think, like, again, like, he needs all the reps. So for G.G., again, like, a lot of the stuff that I saw, I just feel like he can, especially in this situation, I know – people are going to look down on Grizzlies right now and be like, oh, well, they're not, you know, like the Ja stuff. And they're going to look at down at it and think, like, this is not a good culture they built. Like, this is still a good team. Like, you don't win 50 games like they've done and do all this and not have some type of established culture. And get guys like Desmond Bane and Santi Aldama and Brandon Clark and get these guys and develop them. Like, you just don't do that. Like, you just don't just luck into all that. So you have to have some good structure. And I think this was a spot that he needed to have, because, you know, situations, I always say situations everything. So if you, like, if he went to Houston or, I don't know, like a worse situation where they already got bigs and stuff, like he can't play behind, like it's going to be bad for him. But where he got a time to really develop, like this is great for him. So, you know, I'm really high on what he could be. And I'm not going to put like a limit on him. Like, I really think he's that good. Because again, he was supposed to be a lottery pick next year. And even if it's in a weaker class, like he has that type of talent. Like, it's clear. It's just about figuring out if that could translate to the NBA level, like what translates and how you can make that into a certified role. Because even if he's a starter, he's going to have to fit next to the best guys. And that's what it's all about at this point. Who's going to fit next best to Ja, Jaren, and Bane? That's all that matters. They can be the most talented player in the world, but they don't have skill sets that fit around those guys and impact, you know, and helps them achieve winning stuff, then it doesn't matter. They're going to have to go to a different situation. That just is what it is. So I'm hoping that this, the stuff that he can do, translates and helps them. Because if it can, then you could get a real big steal in this draft, like potentially looking down, what, 3 or 4 years down the road. So I'm hoping he's good. But again, you know, it's a process. Like I always say, like even with the Grizzlies, like main players, it's a process. So people just got to be patient with this. But I really think you could see some type of reward that we've seen with people that we have on this roster in the past.
Yeah, for sure. But Overall, like you said, high risk or not high risk, low risk, high reward, right? And I think that's the biggest thing that I can take out of, you know, like this draft pick overall. And like I said, I think it could be very easy for him to, you know, in 2 or 3 years be on a bench role. But like you said, he's the guy that has the potential to where he could be much more than just a bench player down the road. If he reaches his potential, like he could be one of the better players on this team and be, you know, in the starting lineup every night in a few years. Now, not to say I'm going to put all that pressure in, he's definitely going to be that, but he has all the talent to be there. And I'm always fine with using a second round pick on a guy like that. So overall, I do think the Grizzlies, I mean, when you look at, you know, they brought in Marcus Smart, they brought in G.G. Jackson. I think they had a pretty solid draft, but kind of to wrap up here, it's going to be interesting to see what they do in the summer league, but I am very excited to watch G.G. just because he's just like a pure scorer. Like that was the thing that stood out to me when I watched all of his tape, is all the stuff that he can do and that he just needs to do more consistently. And I think that's the big thing, is that, you know, you can't teach somebody to be 6'9". You can teach footwork, but the type of footwork that he has now at such a young age, it's like you can't teach that, really. Like you really can't teach that. It really seems like he has a better feel for his game than a lot of people do at that age. And there's going to be a lot going on with him. And I know that a lot of people are maybe a little bit worried about the inefficiency and stuff, but people hate it because it's from the Sixers or whatever, but you got to trust the process, man. You got to trust it. And I think that that's what the Grizzlies are doing with G.G. Jackson. And I think it's going to work out for him. But as always, thank y'all for listening to this week's episode of the Next Gen Podcast. For my co-host, Alex Winton, I'm Bryson Wright. We will see y'all next week talking all things Summer League and previewing that, which I'll be there for basically the whole time. So lots of good content coming from there. But we'll see y'all on the next episode.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Next Gen Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, leave a like and a comment wherever you download your podcasts. Head over to www.bluffcitymedia.co, where you will find comprehensive coverage of all things Memphis sports and how you can become an insider. We'll see you back here next time.